You listen to the Jason Greger Show podcast brought to you by Lakewood Chev. Right now they have the 2017 sports car blowout, Camaros and Corvettes. Only seven remaining. Price reductions to $20,000. No reasonable offer refused. Check it out right now, Lakewood Chev. Our next guest played 1,137 games in the National Hockey League, finished up with 869 points, also had another 29 goals and 86 points in the playoffs, and was actually a member of the Nashville Predators in their inaugural season way back in 1998-1999. Spent four seasons with the Predators before moving on to the Kings, Wild, and Islanders in the later stages of his long NHL career. Also, 1 year, just for fun, had 197 points and 89 goals in the Western Hockey League with the New Westminster Bruins. Not a bad season. Not a bad season at all. Cliff Ronning joins us. Cliff, welcome to the show. How you doing?
I'm doing good, thanks.
89 goals, 197 points in 70 games. You'd had 136 points the year before, and then you said, I got to get 60 more. That was quite the year for you. Quickly, what was your favorite memory of that year with the New Westminster Bruins in 84-85?
Well, I mean, that year we had a good team. I had some great line mates in Craig Berube. Everyone knows him. He could fight and score. And Brian Noonan had great hands. So we had a real good line. It was a fun era of hockey. A little bit rougher maybe than it is now, but it's not as fast as it is now.
Yeah, no, definitely a little bit rougher. And, yeah, you guys could handle your own there. You had Berube. Also, another guy by the name of Todd Ewan. He could hold his own not bad in that department.
Absolutely.
Yeah, no, it was and all those guys. When you have four guys from one junior team make it to the show, obviously, yeah, Robin Bawa also played some time in the NHL. You know, you have a Bill Ranford, I think, was your goalie, too. So
Not a bad goalie. I think he won the top trophy for the goalie in the playoffs there, when they won the cup with the Oilers. So, yeah, we had some, it was a fun group, and we were very fortunate to play in the old New West Barn. It was a small rink.
Oh, yeah. Cliff, before we get to your next, I guess, kind of your post-hockey life with hockey sticks and with base hockey, I do want to talk a little bit about David Poile. Of course, you'd been in the NHL a long time, been to a Stanley Cup final with the Vancouver Canucks, and then you got to go to Nashville. And you know, I'm sure at the time when you're a veteran, you're like, oh, man, I'm going to an expansion team. But you come into Nashville, and David Poile now, this many years later, still with the organization. You know, he's on the verge of becoming the all-time winningest general manager in NHL history with one more victory. Tell me about your first year in Nashville and maybe just your first encounter with David Poile as the GM, and what stood out to you? What made him a good GM?
I think he was a great communicator. He was, when I first met him, very, very soft in the sense of it's not a firm handshake. It's just, he's a caring person. He's a gentleman. And I think that's why he's lasted so long and done so well as a general manager, that you can tell that he cares about you. It is a business, the game of hockey. And even when I got traded the next day, you know, he said he felt bad, but it's just something he felt he had to do. And you respect a guy like that just comes out and says how he feels. And to this day, they still fly a lot of the guys back that started the early years of the Nashville Predators, like the Scott Walkers and all the different players. Johnson comes out, Fitzgerald, Dunham goes out. So we get a lot of different guys that come out and support the Preds for sure.
Cliff Ronning joins us here, NHL alumni, terrific NHL player, over 1,100 games played and many, many points racked up during that time. Cliff, you know, you're now, your business pursuits is base hockey. And as a player, when you were playing, did you spend more or the same amount of time as other players addressing your sticks and how they felt and curved and all that stuff?
I would say I spent probably about the same amount of time as Alexander McGillney. He was another one that was always tweaking his sticks. You know, back when we played, we were using wood sticks still, so you could whittle away at and change the curve and bend the curve and then file the blade a little thinner so you can get the puck up quicker. And now with the graphite, you just can't do that. So that's kind of how we started a company called Base Hockey.
Yeah, and you're one of the founders of base hockey. And so as a guy who went from the wooden sticks and now you see what they're using now, what is one of the common mistakes you think people or players have when they come to their sticks? What are they not doing correctly with their stick?
Well, I think the biggest thing I notice is getting the wrong lie. And a lot of times you have to cut the stick, you know, under the nose or to the chin to start off with your skates on. And then from there, determine what lie works best for you as a hockey player. And then you proceed to what curve makes sense for your style of play. And then proceed to figure out what flex makes you be able to shoot the best with the least amount of effort. And be able to hit your target, but not break the stick.
Cliff, you know, what age should young players start looking at getting something that fits them properly?
Well, I think it's something that should be done right from the start. Good habits are important. Players evolve. You know, you get different options on curves with base. You can get a toe curve, a heel curve, a mid curve, a straight curve. It goes on and on. Every player plays different. Wayne Gretzky, the best player ever played, played a straight curve. And he seemed to do pretty good with that. So it just depends on your style of play. I mean, Yuri Curry played a bit of a toe curve for a one-time shot. So you as a player have to figure out what works best for you. And the best way to do is come into a base location and try different products and try different curves and see what seems to work for you.
Cliff Ronning joins us, and it's great because, yeah, if you're a player and you're, and let's say McDavid's your favorite player, you're like, okay, I want to have his curve and lie. Well, if you're not that type of player, it doesn't make any sense, right? And because I remember as kids, you'd be like, oh, geez, I want to get the Gretzky stick. And you know, that's just an example. But nowadays, is that one of maybe the mistakes that they make is that, you know, the son or daughter really wants to get a McDavid or a Crosby stick, you know, and even as a Bantam player, and all of a sudden, but that curve doesn't work to what their skill sets are as a player.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, being in the business of hockey sticks and over the last 7 years, you really realize that it's marketing. You know, marketing 101. McDavid probably doesn't even play the exact curve that you see, you know, on the rack.
Yeah.
But it comes down to regardless. You need to play whatever stick makes you a better player. You know, that's it's options, I guess, with base hockey. We have even Paul Coffey curve is a great curve that you don't see out there that often, but a lot of the beer leaguers still remember it, and we sell that product. But maybe some younger kids should be playing that stick and make them play at their best. You know, without trying different curves and flexes, you'll never know, I guess, how good you can really be.
Cliff Ronning joins us. Now, Cliff, you talked earlier about how a lot of young players have the wrong lie. So how do, for mom and dad who are listening, and, you know, you can go into base and get it checked out, or, and maybe there's not one around them, but, like, when you say it's the wrong lie, is it because of, you know, how they're standing as a player on the ice is usually what leads them to having the wrong lie because they're maybe measuring themselves off of the ice, not with their skates on?
Yeah, I mean, you definitely, it's everything's done with the skates on. Just watch your child or your older player, a wife watching their beer league husband play a stick that the blade is up and the toe is all the way up and he keeps missing pucks underneath the toe. That's telling you need the lower lie. I find also you'll find players that like to pull the puck into their feet to shoot a puck like a Joe Sakic. They want to be in a six fly or even higher. Kent Nielsen was a fabulous player that he was playing about a lie eight. Paul McLean, another player that played that really bringing the shot right into the feet. Just depends on your style of play. I know Jason Strudwick there, he had a stick that he wanted to get that puck out on a backhand sometimes, penalty killing, so he probably used a bit smaller curve. And if I remember, he played like a five lie, so there was more blade on the ice.
You want to know the truth, Cliff? I couldn't even tell you what line my stick was. I'm not even kidding. I was told to use this stick, and I used it. And you know what? I think what happens, Cliff, is for guys like myself, you know, I was so busy about trying to get better stick handling, all this stuff. You don't look at your instrument. And
which is really counterproductive now that you think about it.
It is. Yeah, and I wish I would have maybe spent some time. I remember at Jaromir Jagr took me aside, and he actually changed my stick quite dramatically. And I think it made a bit of a, it made a difference. But, you know, now I have my kids of my own. I just exactly what you're talking about. I look at where they're skating. Where's their stick in relation to, like, the toe, the heel, all that stuff? Do they have more stick on the ice when they're shooting? And that's – it's something that, you know, unless you're around it, you don't really know how valuable it can and how much it actually can make the game easier for male, female, from 5 to 100.
Absolutely. I mean, that's something that we've learned in the past 7 years. Myself, Ally Afraidy, we went out and fit about 140 players in the NHL with a company called Warrior at the time to get fitted properly and made a huge difference in their game. And after that, we kind of, in later on, I thought, you know, maybe I should come up with a different plan or a different way of getting sticks to the public and going right off the map and doing custom fittings and trying to figure out, like golf, like what's stick or what flex or what's going to work best for that player and in the meantime save you money. You know, there's nothing worse than you always play a Paul Coffey curve and then you go to the store and they don't have it anymore and now you got to learn how to shoot completely different again. I just wanted to have it in the archive, so I got the same stick every time so I could dial in my shot by having the exact same curve, flex, and dial it in by the time you're 15, 16 years old.
Cliff Ronan joins us. Cliff, we've got a lot of questions from parents, and I know it's hard because everybody's going to be a little bit different. You want to see a kid, but just even if they go into a store where they feel that they can ask the right question. For a defenseman, the type of stick curve, because, you know, usually, you know, they're going to stand at the point and shoot it there. So flex and also curve for a D-man who obviously will use, you know, their stick in the offensive zone a lot different than a forward. Is there kind of a general one you'd recommend?
Well, a general would be, depending on the style of a player, if it's a very offensive defenseman, you're noticing in the NHL they'll play more of a toe curve, so they're able to grab the puck off the wall and be able to take a quick snapshot to the net. And then you'll notice also other defensemen that play kind of the old Lidstrom-style heel curve. It just really depends on their style, but overall, I think, you know, going right away to figure out to get to base and go try different products. You don't have to buy anything. You can go there and try different curves, different flexes, which work best for the player. But we also offer teaching proper shooting technique with high-speed cameras, so they take that home with them, and then when they're outside in the garage, they're shooting properly, so they become better.
There is a location in Edmonton. It's on 156th Street and 112th Avenue. They can stop in. Do you go and tour the facilities every now and then just to make sure that everyone, you know, there's continuity from the base measuring in Vancouver, Toronto, and Edmonton?
Absolutely. I mean, I'm very fortunate our place in Edmonton. Chris Joseph, who played with the Oilers, he's the owner there, and he teaches perfect technique. That's one thing he did have was a great shot, and he's gone over it with Big Ally Afraidy on what is proper technique, and it's been something we've been working on for the past 7 years, and it's a nice little niche in the game that each player individually can get better at certain things, and the one thing you can get better at, much like in golf, is it going to the driving range, is going to a shooting range, but doing it with cameras so you can see if you're actually doing it correctly, and that's how you get better on individual things. But hockey is still always a team sport, and but if you can get better on your skills, then you become better in the team game.
Before I let you go, your son Ty, of course, was drafted in 2016 by the New York Rangers, has 54 goals and 75 points in 61 games this year for the Vancouver Giants. Has he become a guy who's a real aficionado with his stick?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, growing up with me, I guess, in the sense of taking to the rinks and changing curves and giving them this one, letting them try this one. But overall, I mean, Bass has worked with some amazing players from Ty early on. He was using Bass for a long time and teaching kids now there. But we work with Austin Matt. Matthew Barzell, a lot of these players that are young, up-and-coming players have all gone through that system of what is proper technique so they can see themselves shoot. So I hope to see more and more and more make it to the NHL. It's fun. I know Ty had a great season so far. I'm very excited for him.
Cliff, I really appreciate your time. Thanks for this, and best of luck.
All right. Thanks, guys.